Father, we thank you because your word is coming again, is expressing your counsel to us and transforming us to merge with that counsel in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as you are aware, we have been teaching on what we call training to reign. And last time I explained a few things while I was trying to review. And when I did that review, actually I reviewed quite a lot, like more than I had planned. That was because quite a number of people I had not seen before were around last time. So we had to go over all those things again. But today we'll just continue. And let me announce what I want to talk about today. And then it will help us to keep focused. Today I want to examine that word, what it means to be born again. You understand what I'm saying? And there is a reason why we will do that. I will try not to review what we said last time because of time. Let me just go on to today's message. But then, let me remind us of what we said earlier, that the Bible said that the Lord is enthroned in the heavens, but his kingdom rules over all. Do you understand what I mean? What it means is that God is not physically present on the earth, but on the earth, his kingdom comes down to the earth, and when it is there, it always takes dominion. You understand what I mean? That is, the dominance of God's kingdom is undeniable. You cannot do anything to frustrate the kingdom of God from taking dominion anywhere it is present. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is automatic. There is something I like very seriously about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I taught in that track titled The Resurrection. And that's the fact that the rising up of Jesus from the dead after a few days was automatic. What I mean is this. It was a manifestation of something that had happened. Something had happened. He had finished everything God wanted him to do. And for that reason, Peter said it was impossible to continue to keep him under the dominion of death. Therefore, he rose spontaneously. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you don't understand what I'm saying, go and take the tract. I don't want to take time out to explain it. The resurrection. It's very important we understand that there are certain things are automatic in life. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, it was automatic that as Daniel stepped into Babylon, he had to reach the top. It was automatic that he and his brothers had to reach the top. One thing I was explaining to us last time, which I should just quickly explain again, not as a kind of review, but to develop the thoughts further, is that power of grace. Grace is the power of God manifested on this earth. Grace means that when the kingdom is present, the kingdom automatically takes over. That is, a man does not need to force the kingdom of God to take over. It is automatic. His kingdom, the Bible says, rules over all. There's nothing anybody can do to stop that kingdom from ruling. That's why Jesus said, the Bible said concerning Jesus, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is how gates prevail. They prevent you from moving. Gates are barriers. They are not advancing forces. But so what he was saying is that by the time I'm planting this church, the devil told him, upon all these dominions of men, all these kingdoms of men, I have authority. But Jesus now told them that my church cannot be stopped, though the devil has authority right now. But as they advance, they will automatically take over the kingdoms of this earth. Do you understand my point? That God has not called any one of his children to struggle against the world. He has not called you to struggle, to try your best to become, how do I say it now, to maybe take over in academics or in the legal system or in the police or in business or in anything. That if you enter the police, you enlist as a policeman, you become a police officer. As long as the kingdom is birthed in you, everybody that gangs up against you will fall for your sake. Testimony of Daniel. Are you getting my point? That eventually the ruler of the land will look at you and say, you have to be the inspector general. Now, the mistake we make is that we try. And once we try, we are competing with God for space. God does not need you to try. It's a matter of imbalanced teachings. People think that as a Christian, you know, we try to make a difference. That's the point. We try to do righteously. We try to, you know, that's the word. We keep on trying. But Jesus said something, and when John was talking about Jesus Christ, he said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, this is the law. Make a difference in the police. So you wake up every morning. When you see any sergeant doing what is wrong, you're going to say, Sergi,
what you are doing, it's inappropriate. Do you get my point? He said, because the Bible says that is the law. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are trying to make a difference. But this is grace. There is a difference made in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your life is different. You are not fighting the sergeant that's doing something wrong. You just go to work and do what is right. Are you following me? And then one day, the sergeant robs you off wrongly, or you rob him off wrongly, and it rises up that you, I will show you here, that statement condemns him. Then people soon learn that that guy is dangerous. Say, see, as he quiet so, now so he dangerous. So. That is, so next time you gather together, they want to do something, they say, no, I think we should do it like this. They are afraid. Do you follow what I'm saying? To go against you. The illustration I use about grace also is the life of Samuel. Samuel was never declared prophet by anybody. Get what I'm saying, Claire? Nobody came and said, from now on, Samuel shall be a prophet. See, David was anointed king, right? They anointed Joshua in the presence of everybody. Moses, place a hand on Joshua. Samuel had nothing like that done for him. The people just noticed that when Samuel speaks, not one word fails. I hope you get what I want to say. That is, once Samuel speaks, the word does not fail. Now, for that reason, they subjected themselves to Samuel. That is the power of grace. You have to understand what I'm saying there. That is the power of grace. If God's kingdom is birthed in your life, you don't have to try to make a difference. Difference is made automatically. Do you understand what I'm saying? So please, let's get that very clear. We have been saying again and again, we will take charge, destined to reign, this and that. But God has never said try. God has showed you, what he has done is to show you where he's taking you to. He now said, now that I have shown you, enter the car and sit down. I will take you there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What we try to do is that we are going far. So because inside the car, we are not doing anything. We are seated. Actually, we can even fall asleep if we need to. The power of Esau, like I said last time, is that you will tell the driver, stop, I want to come down. Because your muscles are resting. You don't understand that despite the fact that your muscles are resting, you are moving far. Do you understand my point? This is the power of grace. You cannot estimate how fast an aircraft is moving if you are sitting inside it. Take a flight. When the pilot is cruising and starts telling you, we'll be in Lagos in 55 minutes and telling that story, we are at an altitude of 18,000 feet, that plane may as well be parked for all you know. You understand what I'm saying? The waitresses are moving up and down. They are serving you stuff. As far as you are concerned, the plane may as well be parked somewhere. Now, the guy is flying above the clouds. You cannot even use the movement of clouds to judge anything. The clouds are at a standstill. You look around, all you find is the horizon. Now, it's even worse if you don't have a window seat. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Yet, that thing is going at 800 kilometers an hour. But the man who feels like he's going to win Tour de France gets on top of his bike, he's pedaling to Lagos. The strength of a man shall frustrate him. You understand what I'm trying to say? Yes, he's going to Lagos, so he's trying. But God said, labor to enter into my flight. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is the power of grace. And what you need to do as a child of God is just to have yourself in God's flight. You don't worry about when he will take you there. In our exhortation earlier, we said that this is the way it is. A man does not know his time. God will not tell you, like the pilot, we will be in Lagos in 55 minutes. He doesn't need that. Are you seated? That's all he wants. He said, yes. When he multiplied food, the Bible said he gave only to those that were seated. So, are you seated? Yes. Okay, sit down. But when the time comes, suddenly you will notice some shaking around you. The plane begins to go down. They tell you, fasten your seatbelt. We've started descending. Then you land. 1 hour later, you have covered over 700 kilometers. The man who is Esau has not even reached 9th mile. Do you get the point I'm making? That's one that I want us to understand, believers. That is the power of grace. You will get somewhere you didn't plan for. Jesus said, other men labored. Now you are about to enter into their labor. Listen, these are practical issues. You will live in houses you did not build. That is, God said, a man will build a company and I will give it to you. I will dash you perfectly. It's yours. Take. Men will scheme and scheme and scheme to get to an office. Just before they get there, God will create the vacuum of that man that was scheming. Suddenly you have to fill the vacuum and then you step in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Many men who have reached positions of authority in life, that's how it came to be. The current president of Nigeria never begged anybody, bribe, or do anything to become the current president. He came out from jail after Abacha died, and he went back to his otter farm. First, a prophet visited him. Then the movers and shakers of the nation began to visit. And by the time they finished visiting, he declared for presidency. He wasn't trying to contest. They had told him at that time he has to be the next president. Nelson Mandela was fighting apartheid, equal rights for everybody. Then they locked him in jail. And while he was in prison, they denied him newspaper. He couldn't really hear what was going on. Yet one day he came out and instantly became president. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
We are saying you've been destined to reign doesn't mean go and join a party. Get what I'm saying? God says, if my kingdom is there, it automatically takes over. Let me get into my message, please. Because, you see, let me read from 1 John, the book of John. Let's just start from that. The book of John. Maybe that would be a very, very good place to start. Because that's what we're actually discussing. What it means to be born again. Alright? That's John chapter 3, isn't it? Now, okay. A man came to Jesus Christ. His name was Nicodemus. He came by night, verse 2, and said, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? He said, he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let me stop there because that's where my emphasis is. Now notice something. The man came to Jesus and said, we know you are a teacher because we see the power of God manifested in your life. Do you understand my point? And he said, we know you have come from God as a teacher. And we know that because of the power of God in your life. And Jesus said, if your issue is that power of God manifested, then understand that the way by which they came to be is because I have entered into the kingdom of God. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, the man now said, if you want the same manifestations in your life as I have in mine, then you must be born again. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Then the man explained that without being born of water, and now when we are saying water, we are not saying physical water, because that was what John the Baptist baptized you guys with. But I'm talking about the water of the Spirit. That's the meaning of water and Spirit. He said he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, please understand what I'm saying here, that when he used the word born again, it was the entrance into the kingdom of God he was describing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, before I go on, there's one scripture we read earlier. I think we should go back to it. Isaiah chapter 2. Why are we speaking like this? We have found out that if we have become indeed or have entered into the kingdom of God, then that is the end of struggles. You know, last time we were reading that Paul was explaining, that's the book of Hebrews, he said that labor to get a seat on God's flight
You understand what I'm trying to say?
It's a labor to enter into his rest. Because anyone that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own labors. Any man who has booked a flight and has gotten a seat on God's flight has ceased from trying to run to get to Lagos. That's what he's saying. He didn't say the man won't get anywhere in life. He's saying that he won't struggle to get to wherever he has to get to. I mean, let's look at the life of Joseph again. Because the Bible said these things were recorded for what? For our learning. He said, we upon whom the end of the age has come. That is, these things are important that we know it if we are going to make a success of living in this age. These are perfect examples. What party did Joseph join to become the prime minister? Listen, you know I always say it. In fact, that's new revelation to me also. Recently I understood it also. All those steps to breakthrough are only steps that the man took accidentally in the time of harvest. Notice the word, accidentally. When he was taking those steps, nobody told him they were steps to abundance. The morning he woke up unusually early, it was because he couldn't sleep. You understand? It was not a matter of revelation that God said, today breakthrough is coming, therefore I shall wake up. One of the most irresponsible experiences I had were trying to walk in the spirit the way I was taught. It was a waste of time. You wake up in the morning, you are doing shmo, 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 shmo. Where should I go today? Listen, go to where you have business. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? If you don't have any business, stay at home. You do not need prayers and fasting to decide that. I'm sorry to say this, but some of the most spiritual people I knew, in quotes, spiritual, had the most irresponsible lives. A man come and say, God didn't tell me to go to lecture today. And you're a student. Something is wrong with your basal ganglia. How can you understand what I'm saying? Does God need to tell you to go to lectures when you're a student? Periodically it happens that you're supposed normally to go for lectures, but that morning, God doesn't want you to go, so he rises up through many circumstances to prevent you from going. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But as a matter of course, a matter of natural events in life, you should go to work in the morning if you're a worker. You need no communication from heaven. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That most of the things that we have caught, look, people learn to work in this. The people who have given me some, not all, some of the people that gave me the strongest testimonies of how God spoke to them to marry somebody, didn't marry the person. They opened their eyes, married somebody else, which shows that God didn't speak to them in the first place. Let me answer it again. Who should I marry? The person I like. Simple. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It is true. Even if God were to speak to you, which is very, very unusual, and in most cases, unlikely. Are you getting my point? If God were to speak to you to go and marry somebody you do not like, there's an issue with that, number one. It will be because he's so sure you don't like the person and he wants you to marry the person. You understand what I'm saying? Number one. Then number two, is his method of saying it will be so undeniable. Not I perceive in my spirit. Nonsense. At such times, you don't perceive anything in any spirit. Because perceptions depend on whether you drank last night or you didn't. No, believe what I'm saying. No, I'm telling you. Look, young men, listen to me. If you are sad and depressed, and a nice Christian sister takes time out to take care of you at that time, you will perceive she's your wife. It has nothing to do whether she is or not. Because you're a normal person. Are you getting the point I'm making? Perception depends on the state of your stomach, where your head is. No, it's true. Which films you have been watching? Which meetings you have been going for? Those are the perceptions. So believe me what I'm telling you now. All this perceive. Are you getting what I'm saying? God is very kind. You know, I keep on saying it. God is a kind person. He's not a lot of confusion. He looked at a prophet and said, go and marry a harlot. You think he will give him that instruction by perception? He will come. What's his name? Is it Hosea? Yes. He had to knock on the door. Hosea. He gave him the name of the harlot. Understand that temperature and pressure. He doesn't do such things.
Why does that this whole story? Joseph was where started, I heard my story from.
Joseph didn't perceive anything. They imposed wife upon him. That is, once the time was ripe, they just took wife and gave to him. The kingdom, that's how it is. When, like I said earlier, what we call the labors or the steps to success are steps a man took in the time of his harvest. Do you get my point? I mean, you don't tell a man who has no seed in the ground to go and get the combined harvester. For what? That's what we do a lot of times. Men who didn't sow any seeds, who God is not planning to bless, you are telling him when to wake up and when not. Look, listen. What, your blessing is your blessing. It can't go anywhere else, whether you sleep late or wake up early. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to go over that message again because I get distracted when I get there. Even if you travel the day your breakthrough came to town, your breakthrough will lodge in a hotel until you come back. I mean, like I told you as early as an example, if my wife gets to Enugu and I traveled, would she say because I'm not in town, she'll go and stay in somebody else's, another man's wife house and become the man's wife? She will be looking, where is my husband? She will phone, where are you? Sorry, I am still held up in Lagos. He said, okay, when you get down to Enugu, I am so and so place. And we wait until I come back. Let nobody come and tell me that you must not miss the moment. Look, moment that I miss will come back if it's my moment. Do you understand my point? If you go away as a moment and you are mine, you must come back. You won't fit in another person's life. You are my moment. You get what I'm saying? Please let me get back to my message. Now, I said we should read them. Okay, I was explaining something about the kingdom of God, how to enter into it. Now, I wanted to refer us back to Isaiah chapter 2. Just to connect everything I said, that when you have entered into God's rest, events begin to come upon you by themselves. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4 that the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man sows in the ground. And he goes to sleep at night, and in the morning he wakes up. What did he say? He said the earth by itself produces first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. He said, this man does not know how. If you read verse 27, that is, the man is not struggling. What he did was to cast the seed upon the soil. Do you follow me? That is, things begin to happen that do not ask you to take steps. The steps Joseph took were steps not in, they were not steps taken in understanding. Most of them were steps taken in, I don't want to use the word confession for Joseph now. They were steps imposed upon him. Becoming a slave was imposed upon him. Going to prison was imposed upon him. Coming to meet Pharaoh. People have even said that Joseph shaved himself before going to meet Pharaoh. It is true. But do you understand that he didn't shave himself? They shaved him. You understand what I'm saying? They told him, look, go and shave. You are coming to see the Pharaoh. If they told him, come bearded, he would have gone like that. He was a slave. Believe me, when God is working in your life, that's how he will force you to get to the proper places, and then the places will be right, and the time will be right, because God is the one pursuing you with favor. Are you getting the point I'm making all of these things? Okay. Now, so let's go back to what we're reading. So I was not explaining that the problem about the issue of walking in the kingdom of God is that of being born again, and Jesus was saying, and you have to notice that he didn't use that word twice. He used it only once with Nicodemus, and that was the end of it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, he was not saying, a lot of time, as Christians, we emphasize born again a lot. Now, it's not wrong, it's correct. We should be born again. But what I want to emphasize is this. Since he used those words only once, if you read through it's not as if it wasn't important, but he did not always use the word born again. That's what I'm coming to. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, listen, the issue was the kingdom. The issue was the entrance into the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, it's how to enter into the kingdom that's the issue. When he was explaining to Nicodemus, he used the word born again, but the principle remains the same all the time. Let me give you a very good example. To me, the most graphic demonstration of when a man gets born again, in the words of Jesus, is the prodigal son. He said, I will arise. I will go back to my father. I will say, when he made up his mind, what did the man say? He said, your brother that was dead has now been given birth to again. He has become born again. Are you getting what I'm saying? That was a graphic description of what it meant to be born again. People used to say that, could people get born again before Jesus Christ died and rose again? The issue is that, yes, because he himself, before he died, said it. Do you understand the point I'm making? Now, the problem, let me just go on, is that let me explain the problem. The problem is a lot of people who claim to be born again are indeed not. Listen to what I'm saying. They are Israelite. Now, let's use Israel now as a type of the church, okay? They are Israelites. They have a covenant with God. They are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting me? But they are backsliding. They are sons of Abraham, though, but the Lord was just preaching to them, be born again. Let me explain this. Because anytime you see the kingdom of God, it's always manifested by power. Let me say something about John the Baptist. You know that some of the disciples of John became disciples of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why at the end, when Jesus Christ died and rose again, they asked him, will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? That's why they asked him that question. Now, what I want to bear in mind is this. John the Baptist must have expressed the coming of the kingdom of God to them in terms slightly different from what Jesus manifested. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was why Jesus asked, John the Baptist sent to Jesus once and said, are you the one to come or we should expect another? Because I wasn't expecting what you are doing now. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Now, but get the point. He now said, go and tell John the Baptist what you both see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised, the gospel is preached to the poor. Now, what I want to bring out is this. He was telling him, in effect, this is a sign of the coming of the kingdom of God. That anytime the kingdom of God is manifested, you know, you preached, John, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, but you did not heal any sick. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, now you are seeing the sick healed. You are still asking me questions. You should know that the kingdom of God has entered the midst of these people. What am I saying? Once the kingdom of God is birthed in the lives of people, the manifestations are automatic. It's like the seed that a man sowed into the ground. He can go to sleep. Believe me. If you hear me say it all the time that I believe I can never be average, as God lives, I don't even know what to do not to be average. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I will preach, I will never be. If I get here and there are only two people here, I still teach with the same fervor. I have heard of people who closed church down and ran to Lagos because crowd was not much. It doesn't concern me because my own is to cast the seed upon the soil. Then I go to sleep. If I know how, it is not the wind blowing where it listed. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Because the wind blows where it is. No one can say where it is coming or where it's going. You've heard me say it again and again. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. I don't know where the river is situated. Are you getting my point? But the wind blows where it wills. You can't say where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Talking about time and chance, let me explain something to you again. And then tell you a story. You know T.D. Jakes? T.D. Jakes is an international figure now. I always say this jokingly. If T.D. Jakes takes a handkerchief and signs on it, T.D. Jakes, and they make 1 million copies of that handkerchief with his inscription, they will sell that 1 million copies in a week. Why? It's T.D. Jakes' signature. That's what the Bible means when it says, when the crop permits, like I didn't read that portion in Mark chapter 4 now. He puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You see some men, very common in America. I don't know whether it's good or bad, but I think for today's illustration, it's a good illustration. They write a book, it succeeds, all right? They sell 10 million copies. Ross Pastor is doing it right now also. This book, Silent No More. Remember that book? If you know the book, he wrote it. It became a bestseller. One of the fastest selling books in America right now. As soon as the before the thing cooled down itself on best-selling list, they have made Silent No More workbook. That's how Americans do it. After that, now they will make Silent No More for children. That's how the Americans do it. What I want to bring out is this. What they are doing is putting in the sequel, The Harvest Has Come. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Look at Prayer of Jabez. It has about 10 different versions. The original Prayer of Jabez, Prayer of Jabez for women in trouble, Prayer of Jabez for men who are satisfied. Now I'm adding my own to it, okay? But it has all kinds of prayers or Jabez's. You understand what I'm saying? Now, is it good or bad? That's not the issue. The man is putting in the sickle because the harvest has come. The principle they practice there is good. You're just putting the sickle, the harvest has come. Now, I am just explaining something about T.D. Jakes. So if T.D. Jakes does that, don't be angry with him. The harvest has come. Now, how did he become the international T.D. Jakes that you know? This was the way he testified when it happened. Like I said, how the seed became, he does not know. But when it happened, this was how it happens. Now, this man you know is a principality. In a good side. What's his name? The man of TBN. On the good side now. Paul Crouch. Oh, you know it's a principality. When I say principality now, it's a good side though. If you write a rubbish book and Paul Crouch puts it up on TBN, it's a lovely book. Instantly you sell 100,000 copies. No, that's what principalities are. Just like this woman. I saw a magazine today, Oprah Winfrey. The magazine is called O for Oprah. She is the one in the front cover, on the front cover of every edition. I saw it today, and it writes on simple things. How to control your children from overeating, how not to get too fat. You know, things that people have written again and again and again and again. And I read it, not much, the same story. But harvest has come, Oprah Winfrey. Every copy, you know how many million? She is the second richest woman in America. Are you getting my point? Of course, the richest black woman, the richest minority woman, she's the richest woman. Once you don't say richest woman, generally, once you qualify it and it's not white qualification, she's the richest. The woman is a billionaire. She's an enterprise. That's what I mean by principality. All right? Let me get back to my story. Now, T.D. Jakes went to preach for his friend. The man who organized Azusa, the one program they call Azusa, what's his name now? Carlton Pearson. Carlton Pearson was airing a program on TV for 30 minutes. Now, he had four preachers. So, he had only 28 minutes to put the preachers on, meaning that he gave each preacher how many minutes? 7 minutes. Four preachers to be on the 28-minute program. T.D. Jakes was one of them. Now, T.D. Jakes was just preaching to the congregation in Carlton Pearson's place. Carlton Pearson caught a particular 7 minutes and put it on his program. Then TBN chairman, you know what I mean, Paul Crouch, was going through some soul troubles. He was writing a book and he didn't know whether to include one particular chapter or not. And the thing was really distressing him. So he entered his living room one day and just flicked on the TV. He just flicked on the TV, and it turned out to be within the 7 minutes of T.D. Jakes on the program of Carlton Pearson. And the first thing he heard T.D. Jakes said was, show them your wounds. That Jesus came and showed his disciples his wounds. You know, T.D. Jakes knows how to develop such things. And he began to preach. Instantly, Paul Crouch carried a phone, and he was trying to Carlton Pearson, who is that man? That's how he became a regular on TBN. And I started by explaining that Paul Crouch is a principality. Now, a lot of men, we want to network with Paul Crouch because it made people, you think, like T.D. Jakes. When in actual fact, it didn't. It was just harvest time for T.D. Jakes. Are you getting the principle? Look, the time just became appropriate. The man could have refused to come into his living room. But God ensured that he couldn't. You understand what I'm trying to say? Yes. He didn't plan to enter that. That's why I don't ever worry. Something, I'm rushing. Suddenly the car spoils, boy. Remember the night our car sank inside mud after we had gone to preach? Then God said, nobody said we'll go drink for night and smoke. We went to preach. Me and you.
11 o'clock at night in Oka, our car entered Koto. I wasn't worried at all. I said, when God is ready, he will move us out. At least I'm happy that it, in my mind, it's not even like, hey, Banky, I told you not to go and visit all those people at night. You see, now they gave you a boat to smoke. God is punishing you. We just finished ministering powerfully. I finished preaching the word of God. I mean, we're feeling very holy and righteous. Then the car entered into Koto. Oh, what are we going to do? Such things don't worry me, believe me. I mean, it might be the connection. Why am I saying all of this? The earth produces by itself. The man does not know how. Men, saints, what we need is to rigidly enter into God's rest. And we'll fly to Lagos in 1 hour, rather than struggling with all men. And after 1 year of running, we have died from exhaustion, and we have not even reached half of the road. Let me get back to what I was saying, talking about being born again. Isaiah chapter 2. I won't read everything, but let me highlight a few points. The Bible says in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. He said, this is a problem. Verse 5. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with influences from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines. And they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasuries. Their land has also been filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land has also been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands, that which their fingers have made. Now, let me explain this. The way they are working has been producing results. That's what he's saying. But it's not going to cause them to be the chief of the mountains. And the first injunction, chapter 5, in verse 5, is, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Remember I said something earlier. He didn't say, come, house of Edom. Did he say that? He did not say, come, house of Aram. He did not say, come, house of Egypt. He said, come, house of Jacob. That is, there are people, these are people that have a relationship with God already. He said, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. It's interesting to know that Jesus never preached be born again to people who are not Jews. Are you following the point I'm making? That, what I want to emphasize from here is this. This is where I understand it. Let me say it and I will explain it further. That come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord is the same thing as saying, come, house of Jacob, you must be born again. Are you getting my point? Remember, we told the story. In fact, I believe that should be the only parable Jesus told about somebody who died and is now alive again, the prodigal son. The prodigal son came to his father and said, he told his father, he said, give me my inheritance. I want to go away. That is, I want to do things my way. I have found out how to do things and succeed. Now, let me quickly say something about the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What that means is that I know what is right and I will do what is right. That's what it means. Now, eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil does not mean doing what is wrong. Now, are you getting what I'm going to say? It's just that it is my opinion that counts. If I think it is right, it is right. If I think it is wrong, it is wrong. That is what God means when he says a man is eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the one that's eating of the tree of light, the tree of life, is only eating of, how do I say that? He's only walking in the light of the Lord. That is, what is right to him is what God says is right. And anything that he says is wrong, it's not because he feels in his body that it is wrong, but that God said it is wrong. Like I said earlier during our exhortation, I said that anything that's going to produce, now, things, seeds that people sow today that will produce bitterness later, when they are sown, it is sweet. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, the problem with the mafia, all of us don't like mafia, they are bad people, but if you watch many mafia films and you try to enter into the psyche of the mafia man, you will understand that he thinks what he's doing is right, and the rest of you don't understand. When he kills a man, it's business. To him, that is the correct way to do business. In fact, when you see a lot of people, it's very, very common in Europe and America, who want to behave as if there is no God, what they don't understand, that he's alive and has order in his society, is a God factor. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Let me give you a very, well, don't let me use that illustration, but just imagine what I'm saying. They will tell you that there's nothing wrong with a man marrying a man. All right? But they didn't ask themselves, where did the concept of marriage start from? Now that we're arguing whether a man should marry a man. But very concept, where did it begin? Do you get my point? That's why you cannot negotiate on who should marry who, because the word, once you utter the word marriage, what you are saying in effect is that somebody started it. We should go and ask him what he calls marriage. Are you getting my point? If I take this deck, this recording machine, and ask, where do I plug this? I'm instantly acknowledging that somebody made it to be plugged. Do you understand my point? Like somebody said, once you write dates every day, you are acknowledging the death of Jesus Christ. You wake up in the morning and say, today's date is 2005. Where is zero that you start counting from? Are you getting the point I'm making? In the same manner, once somebody opens his mouth and makes a statement about marriage, he instantly acknowledges that there is a standard for it, and we are trying to change it. Now, I'm explaining a few points in all these things I'm saying, that, see, eating of the tree of life means that this is how we settle this issue of homosexual marriages. We go to the person who started marriage and say, is it right for a man to marry a man? And he says, no, it is an abomination. And that settles it. That is called eating of the tree of life. But this is the knowledge of good and evil. We start statistics. We start quoting statistics, scientific figures. That is, we are saying that we will go and experiment. And if our experiments say it is good, what God thinks is not relevant. Because we have become like God, having the final say. That's the meaning. I hope you are getting the point I'm making all of these things. Now, let me go on to my point that I'm making, Isaiah chapter 2 that I was reading earlier, that he said, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. That is, we were not walking in the light of the Lord. There was something David said, I think it was Psalm 34. He said, come, ye children, and I will teach you the fear of God. What am I saying? That is, what you have known up till now is not the fear of God. That's why I'm telling you, come, little children, and I will teach you something that you did not know before. And that's called the fear of God. That is, God has a statement to make about everything. Now, I was going to read something about the prodigal son. The man came to his father and said, give me my share of this estate, what falls to me. And what I'm bringing out from there is this. He had his own idea of when he should get his share of the estate. He had his own idea of what to do with it. And the guy decided to follow his own way. And then he now went to a distant country, the Bible said, and scattered all his estate with loose living. And then a point in time, the consequences began to show. Famine came, and then he became very poor. And at a point in time, verse 17, he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, the Bible says, he asked himself, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, and I'm dying here with hunger? Listen to this. He said, I will get up and go to my father, and will say to him, I have sinned against heaven, Father, and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. Now, what I want to bring out for you is this. When the brother came and was talking to the father in verse 29, okay, now verse 32, the young man was complaining about the fact that his father had spent so much trying to entertain this young guy who went to waste his resources. He now came to him, verse 32. He said, We had to celebrate, notice this, and rejoice. For this brother of yours was dead. And I like New American Standard here. He said he was dead and has begun to live was lost and has been found. Now, get my point? He said he has begun to live. What am I saying? That this is the only time I remember right now that Jesus said, somebody was dead, is now alive again. Do you understand my point? And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born a second time? What am I saying? What it means to be born again is simple. The man who was dead in walking away from the Lord, he's now back to walking in the light of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, to be born again does not, look, it's not the concept, it's not just to answer an altar call. That is the beginning. Remember, he said the man has begun to live. He said, I will go back to my father. Get my point. He now understood what it meant to be a son of his father. Before, he thought being a son is I can do anything I like. I have everything at my beck and call. But the father understood. The brother told him, the father, that all these days I have served you and have never disobeyed any of your commands. That's what it means to be a true son. A son that serves the father. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, the entrance into the kingdom of God is simple. Remember we said Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. It said, come, house of Jacob, let us return to the house of our father. Let us say to him, we have sinned and have departed from walking in your ways. What he was saying in effect is that. He said, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Because they are filled with influences from the east. And they are soothsayers like the Philistines. Now, get the point I'm making all of these things I'm saying. Now, if you're talking about the kingdom of God, any man walking in the kingdom of God is somebody who has, hey, how do I say it now? He has returned from thinking his own thoughts. Are you getting my point? He has desisted from walking in his own ways, especially the ways dictated by the world around him. Now, I hope my theological foundation is clear. All right. Now, let me go very practical so that I can close on time. Now, there is an issue in the world today, especially if you're in Nigeria, for example. You know, I'm trying to get a story to use to connect what I want to say. Some time ago, there was one young man in my house, and you know, one thing is very common with young men. They hop from job to job. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, you have a degree in computer science, electronic engineering, or whatever, and then Glo or V-Mobile employs you. And then you wake up one day, after V-Mobile has finished training you, spending their energy, everything, MTN now offers double their pay. Do you understand? With utter disregard to the person who has invested money in your training, you just jump up one day, boom, you are in MTN. Now, in the world today, I hope you know it is all right. There's nothing wrong with it. I've talked to people, they said that is the only way to move forward. Do you understand the point I'm making? Let me tell you something about the kingdom of God. Jesus said it is harder for a rich man, sorry, for a camel. How do I say it now? It is harder. How does it go? It is easier, thank you, for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I hope you are getting my point. What I want to say to you is this. He said, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few are those that walk in it. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many they are that find that walk in it. He said, few are those that find the narrow one. What am I saying? When everybody is doing something, that is a non-sign to you, for you, that it is wrong. Very likely. Let me tell you something about the kingdom of God. A man has to wake up every day and make up his mind not to be polluted with the influences from the east. And believe me what I'm saying, every time it costs you something. You know, the other day, the was telling me he wanted to take a job somewhere. They said they were going to bond him for 2 years, and it took some time to make up his mind. But one thing he knew, and I knew instantly, is that once you sign that bond, if Man U, as a football club, decides that
You are the one that will be their team manager and they will pay you $1 million a month. As long as 2 years is not over, you can't pull out. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes. Now, with the world, no, it does not matter. No, it doesn't matter. You sign a contract today, you just throw it away. Total disregard to the agreement you enter with a man and then you jump to another place. I'm coming to a point, all of this I'm saying, that is the love of money is pushing everybody up and down so that they enter into covenants. Get my point? They sign agreements. They swear to their own heart and they change rapidly. And the Bible said the one that we are sending to God's holy mountain is the one that swears to his own heart and does not change. Filled with influences from the East. I'm explaining that to be born again actually means that no matter what the people around say, once it is not the counsel of God, I will consciously go to my Father and say, I will not walk in the ways of the world. You know, every day, you know, you heard me, I always use, there are a few things I use as example. Two things. Money. Number two, when people tell me that they want to have 2 children, and I always tell you that, for me, you know why I always use as an example? It's one area that have challenged Christians a lot. All right? And they have nothing to tell me. More than things are tight. Medical science says it is dangerous. And I say, but God said it is blessed. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm not talking about children right now. But I'm trying to emphasize something to you. Look, a lot of things I used to tell my wife, like I told you before, she learned a lot of things from me after we got married, even before then. And so many things I would say will sound so out of, like, what are you saying? But that is the kingdom of God. Are you getting me? That everybody is wrong. It's their problem. I'm not judging whether they are wrong or right. But I'm just show me whether what I'm saying is not what God says. To enter and go into God's kingdom is, listen to me, is like my Bible says, this man was dead, has begun to live. He has made up his mind to live. Every day challenges will come where he needs to rededicate his life to his Father again. So it doesn't follow the influences from the East. I hope you are following me in all these things that I'm saying. That is, when we are talking about entering God's kingdom, it is not exactly easy. Today I was coming from, I didn't sleep in Enugu overnight. I came from Asaba this morning. So when I was coming, I got to a checkpoint. One Federal Highway Patrol checkpoint. The man decided I should park. I doesn't even worry me. I parked. Hello, sir. Can I see your boot? I opened my boot. It was as empty as could be. Then he saw the sticker all over my car, the way of success. So that brought discussion. What is the way of success? I said, tune in 8:30 on Mondays. Cosmo FM. You can receive it from here. So we're talking. Are you a doctor? Yes. Our discussion kept this. He now saw association. He said, you form association. He said, it's only police. I said, how can police form association? That you are in the force. If you form association, it's called mutiny. He said, you see, discussion started. Then the man, one of them, he told me something. He said he's been in the police for 24 years, that his salary is now up to 14,000 naira a month. I had driven up before I remember to check his rank, but I think he's a sergeant. In today's Nigeria, at 14,000 naira a month, a man who's worked for 24 years is not 24 years old, you can be sure of that. So he has children who are going to secondary schools, possibly university, and he's being paid 14,000 naira a month. Now, why am I telling this story? This is the kingdom of God. The Bible says, be content with your wages. 14,000 a month is very bad, isn't it?
It is.
But in the kingdom of God, it's just too bad. The commandment is what? Be content with your wages. That is, before men, it is justification to obtain money on the roads, to try to take money from the innocent. Before your colleagues, it is justification. You sit down every day explaining to yourselves why. But the Bible said, they came to John and said, what must we do? He said, don't take money by force from anybody. And be content with your wages. What does that tell you? They were also poorly paid. Have you ever told a banker, be content with your wages? I will tell the manager in MTN, be content with your wages. You go to Shell and go and tell their group MD, be content with your wages. He's already content with his wages. Do you know, I kept on calculating as I was coming back. That an average small boy in MTN collects 10 times that man's salary. And you give the man a gun and tell him to mount the checkpoint. And the same boys want to be driving past there without dropping Roger. They are not serious. But that is what men say. God said, this is the test of the man who wants to enter the kingdom. Listen, my pastor in Lagos told a story once when he was talking about submission to authority. He told a story that up till that time, you know, I learn every day. Up till that time, I would not have agreed that that made sense. He was saying that a young woman shouldn't marry without her father's consent. So, I had experiences of people who their parents were, I don't want to say unreasonable. They were, what word is worse than unreasonable? No, let me give you an example. Can you imagine that you want to marry now? Eh? And your mother said that the DBA said that the girl is not good. Now, you're a man of God. You understand how unreasonable? No, that's not unreasonable. That is, you know, which, how do I describe it? If she said to you, I don't like the girl, you know it's all right. But to tell you that the DBA told her, that's an insult. You, man of God, a juju man is prophesying concerning your marriage. Now, I've had situations like that, something similar. And say you are a man, so that was not even a problem. Now, this was a lady, you know, stuff like that. So I went up to my pastor and told him that, listen, what you have said, I understood though. But what about the situation? I narrated this kind of situation to him. He thought for a while and said, was Pharaoh being reasonable when he refused the Israelites to go? I said, no. He said, then why didn't God take them out by force? He had to get the word from the mouth of Pharaoh, let my people go. That they were under the authority of Pharaoh. Pharaoh had to let them go. That God used all methods, but Pharaoh had to let them go. God did everything he had to do, but Pharaoh had to let them go. Then he now told me his own story. I thought I had a story. He said he knew a lady. He wanted to marry a brother. Sister, won't marry bro. Then Papa said, nothing for bro. Year one, the man said no. But the girl understood certain principles. Second year, Papa said no. Third year, fourth year, fifth year. When I was telling the story, of course, my eye was getting wider too. Like, eh? Pastor, you can't be serious about what you're telling me. So in the seventh year, one day out of desperation, she prayed and said, God, I am tired. What do I do? Then suddenly, the Holy Spirit told her, go and tell your father that whatever you say now at this point is final. But I will never marry without your consent. So she went to her father and knelt down and said, I want to talk to you. You know this matter? The father said, yes. I just wanted to know that I have waited this long. You have refused to change your mind. If you keep refusing, I will never dream about not marrying with your consent. So tell me, what do I do now? Because if whatever you say now, I take it. If you say you are not marrying the man, then I take it as the final word. And she meant it. 7 years waiting. As soon as she finished saying that, said the father looked at her and said, go and bring him. Choose a date. 7 years. It's not funny. But this is not why I'm telling you this story. Let me come to the reason why I told this story. He made a statement which has not left me forever. You heard me preach about it again and again. He said, everybody will get a major test in life. That was her own major test. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, you see, this convenient Christianity, they have told it doesn't matter how you dress, how you behave. If you look, it doesn't mean anything. Just come to church. As long as you are showing our numbers, it's why church is getting full. Most people who come there are not born again. You understand what I'm saying now? So it's not a matter of
Who wants to answer altar call? That's not what we're saying. Yes, answer the altar call. You have begun to live. Every day, challenges will come. You will be a policeman. They will pay you 6,000 naira a month. And there they are. Your colleagues are going home daily with 2,000 naira extra every day. But you will say like Daniel, I will not defile myself with money that's not my wages. Do you understand my point? You've heard me say it before. God needs a reason to bless somebody. That man, as I was about to drive away, he said, look, this one you are saying, I'm nearing retirement. I began to preach the gospel of the kingdom to them. That the time will come, I said, that's what I teach on this way of success. That there's a period, I told him stories. That look, I started as a resident on 5,000 naira a month. He looked at me that, are you serious? His colleague said, yes. His colleague testified that when I started residency, I was being paid 5,000 naira a month. I told him scenarios. I was saying to him that, look, listen, when God looks at your hardship, a time will come that he will respond. Initially, he thought I was talking about heaven. I said, no, I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about earth. Then he reminded me that he's near retirement. Then before I drove off, I said, what you don't enjoy, your children will. I told him, there are seeds you sowed, and it's only your children that can enjoy the harvest. Do you get the point I'm making? We are talking about, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 2. He was talking about influences from the east. Look at what influences from the east produce for them. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. The men who were pursuing the influences from the east were pursuing it for gain. People who walk away from the principles of God, they are also pursuing it for gain. And listen, the devil that wants to take away your destiny, to prevent you from entering the kingdom, he too will offer you something. You think he's not wise? When he wanted to put Jesus away, what did he tell him? Look at all these kingdoms and the glory, they are mine. I'll give it to you. But God said, I have forsaken, I have abandoned my people because they are filled with influences from the east. Yes, I know it's producing money for them. Take ministry, for example. When you look, if you hear things that go on in the ministry of the Word of God, your ear will tingle. My friend Ken Carter, the daddy, told me about his experience in Lagos. He came to see me. He said he was planning to come and ask me, what is going on? Are these people preaching the same gospel? When Paul told you about merchandising the Word of God, he wasn't joking. That people's gods are their bellies. He was talking about gospel preachers. I've told you that I don't trust any man that tells me God has called him to be raising money. The only thing I know about money from the scriptures is that you should be careful about it. From the testimony of Jesus, he said, beware of covetousness. From the testimony of Kenneth Hagin, he said, Jesus told him, be careful about money. Listen, this is how a man enters into the kingdom. That's why I say narrow. You know what I mean by narrow? When Jesus was talking, he wasn't saying that the road is very small and not many people can walk in it. No. That is tight. You need to squeeze through it. It's uncomfortable. The one that leads to life is very, very difficult at the beginning. The seed that produces sweet fruit later is sown in bitterness. Believe me what I'm saying. Talking about entering the kingdom of God, that is what it means. Men have to wake up and divorce themselves from the influences from the east. Every day, people do things that are not the will of God. And they know it's recorded. It's recorded. It's not sweet. That's just the way the Word of God is. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. If it were sweet, everybody would do it also. That's why Jesus said, narrow is that one that leads to life. And those that find it are few. I said that the country is full of Christians. Yeah, the country is getting worse. I said country is full of those that go to church. That's all. Most of them do businesses like unbelievers. If you tell them this is a straight way to do business, they will tell you that you have to be wise. Why? Because it does not make money. But see where we read. They fill their land with gold by being attached to the influences from the world. That, look, oh, you should get the message I preached in church last Sunday. You should. Me, if I listen to the message after, I said, no, this was anointed. No, I'll try and convert, because the machine I use for converting to MP3s is a bit fault in the house, but when I do, I'll prepare it so we can get it both on CD and on tape. To me, it's a very serious message. People have to understand it. I told people the truth. That some of you are in school. You didn't pass WAEC. You know the way to the kingdom for such people? You better withdraw from that course. If you leave that school with that certificate, you have failed for life. Do you understand my point?
Yes, yes.
Somebody wrote the WAEC with which you enter school. Entering the kingdom, you think it is simple? A man came to Jesus Christ, said, everybody I've ever defrauded, I will return his money. Anyone, he said, I will refund them double. After everything, Jesus said, you have entered the kingdom. No, he said, it's not far. Didn't say you had entered. He said, it's not far. You are very close at this point. There's one more thing you need to do. Whatever is left, I'm adding my own to it now. You understand my point? He says, sell all that you have and give to the poor. Then come and follow me. The man shook his head. Then Jesus says, see how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom. Think what I'm saying is simple. Listen, what's his name? You know, I said earlier that anytime the kingdom is present, power is there. John G. Lake gave a testimony of their life in South Africa. In a few years, they recorded over 100,000 healings. This man and his friends will minister, and a whole village will be delivered from an epidemic in an instant. Are you getting my point? Power was so present that one of their third generation ministers, that is, he trained Elias Letuaba, one of the boys that came from Elias Letuaba as a spiritual offspring, was so anointed that when he's tired, he will sit on a piece of rock and go away. They will be putting the sick on that piece of rock. They will be getting healed. John G. Lake said, such power, how did it come? The man, people suspect, but the testimony is clear, that he was a very rich man those days. But those days, they suspected he had up to $1 million. Now, I'm talking about if it's today, he would have been worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Yet one day, he said God called him to ministry. He took all that he had, sold all that he had, and gave to the poor. So much that to ferry himself and his wife to South Africa, he had to pray for God to send money. Then he described how those men will go to preach in jungles with nothing but their bare feet for covering for their feet. You know what I'm saying? That when ministry aid was withdrawn, they said we stayed there and die if necessary. And several of them died in the process. He said that was what begat power in that place. That men did not love their lives to death. You know what it means to be born again? That was what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Except a man has his hard disk formatted and reprogrammed with God's operating system, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's a kingdom in every area. There is kingdom in marriage. There is kingdom in business. There is kingdom in everything that you do. When Daniel and his friends were entering into Babylon, they first stepped into the kingdom before they entered into Babylon. So they carried God's kingdom into Babylon. That was why all their enemies met destruction. But it was not easy. They bring food, the boys refused to eat. Get my point? They were young boys with hormones running even to the strands of hair on their head. Yet all the wild parties in Babylon, you could not entice them to attend one. I hope you are following the point I'm making. Listen, that was all they did. They didn't try to influence Nebuchadnezzar. Stop doing ministry that's not your own. Righteous men sometimes hide in caves. Is that not what the Bible says?
If you're not Elijah, what's your problem with Ahab? Do you get my point? If you go and confront Ahab, he will just shoot you for nothing. Ahab is not your problem. God's problem is you. You understand my point? How is your own personal life? How is it? These boys went to Babylon and refused to be defiled. Do you get me? That was the kingdom being born in them. Then that kingdom ruled over all without their trying. It is us that read the testimony of Daniel now, because it was recorded for our learning. When the testimony was being engineered, the man did not know he would be 10 times better. He was just 10 times better. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He was not planning to be 10 times better, but the kingdom indeed always rules over all. So he was 10 times better. You know, Daniel never prayed to interpret dreams. Ah, Father God, if we can interpret the dream, the land will be changed. You know, we will give testimony. Now, prayer is even getting easier for me. I feel like telling God, if you don't want, don't do. Say, God, since it's your business, it doesn't concern me. I'm telling you. Because the men who made the greatest landmarks, they were even trying to dodge. Moses, you will go and deliver who? You know I can't speak. He said, okay, Aaron will speak for you. Okay, when Aaron has finished speaking, who will I say sent me? Excuse upon excuse. Yet God said he was the meekest man on the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying, all of these things? They were not trying to affect anybody. They were just trying to please God. Joseph, you think Joseph, his dream, we are the one that think, you know, I told you that we analyze too much. Joseph kept his dream constantly in front of him. It's a lie. The man forgot the dream. He was more impressed with the fact that he was in prison. Do you understand my point? That was the temporal problem. You are the one worried about the throne. He didn't say he would become great. It was his brothers that said he would become great. No, go and listen to it now. He said, my brothers, you've been a junior boy. He said, Egbons, I dreamt this morning. No. He said, what did you dream? I dreamt that we were great, going to the field. After, you know, very funny dream. Do you know all kinds of sheep? They were just falling. But my own did not fall. The brothers were the ones that interpreted the dream. Then the father did too, interpreted. Then Joseph said, I won't dream again. The last dream I dreamt, you know where he landed me? Inside Koto. Then into slavery. You are the one that thinks he was keeping his dream in front of him. He didn't know what it meant. You have to understand that. Even if he knew he'd be a ruler in Egypt, like he wasn't thinking about that. His father was a Fulani headsman. You didn't know his father was a Fulani man. You know what I'm saying? A caricature from, he didn't build a house. They were building houses and pyramids in Egypt when those guys were living in tents. There were civilizations when Abraham and Co were living in tents. You don't know. They were building pyramids in Egypt when the boys were living in tents. Job was the greatest man, yes, in the east. If you had gone to the west, that time you'll have seen that the guy was a small man. You understand what I'm saying? They were counting sheep. As MQ Abiola would have bought 5,000 times the amount of sheep that Job had. What am I saying? Even if he was dreaming of being big, it's like his father. Are you getting me? When he got to the Potiphar's house, the guy was tired, man. Boys, I don't become slave now. But inside him was the kingdom. He did what he needed to do. Then one day, iniquity was presented before him. And he said, how shall I do this and run away from destiny? No, he said, and sin against God. That's what he said. God said, the kingdom is inside you. You think he woke up confessing? Amen. Shalagala bolo bolo bolo. I shall be the head. I shall be the rubbish and nonsense. Believe me what I'm saying. The guy was busy serving food and helping those who needed help. The night before he became prime minister, he slept the same kind of sleep he slept the week before. There was no warning that you shall be prime minister. He was just sitting down and they had probably heard chariots arrive. And this is quite a number of chariots for this day. Then they just came in. Joseph, come here. He didn't have a choice as to whether he would agree or not. He was a prisoner, a convicted slave. What more bondage does a man wish for in life or dread in life more than being a convicted slave. If you are a convict, you are in trouble. If you are a slave, you are in trouble. Now you are a slave and a convict. Thank you. Double jeopardy. According to fella, double wahala for dead body. They are carrying dead body inside a house and the motor can't get accident. You're following me, what I'm saying? When they say, shave your beard and wear these clothes, nobody was explaining anything to him. Follow us. Where are we going? Our guy wants to see you. I said it was not me. Mrs. Potiphar lied. I swear to God, she lied. Do you think they explained to him? They just got there. Pharaoh said, are you the one? Sir. Are you the one that interprets dreams? Sir. Oh, yeah, that one. Interpretation is with God. I'm just his servant. You are following my story. 1 hour after, he had been conferred with the throne, prime minister in Egypt. Then he remembered the dream. Are you hearing me? Then he remembered the dream. Maybe not even then. Until his brothers came and bowed down. Then the dream clicked. That's when I see poor brother Jay, I won't mention his name, who are analyzing the events of the end of the world, predicting it ahead of time. I'm watching them on television. I just smile. I tell my wife, you see all these things? It's confusion. They are lying. Gog is Iraq. Magog is Russia. They keep on... I just be looking. You know what am I saying? The prophecies of God, you can never predict them ahead. It is when they have been interpreted, you will look back. When they have been fulfilled, you will look back and say that it might be fulfilled that which was written. So and I said on TV, Iraq will join up with Iran and form an alliance with Russia. You know, Russia, they will soon be frustrated. Don't worry. Russia will soon Russia will soon become one of the most vibrant democracies and exporters of gospel. Then the prophecies will be frustrated. Then they will stop reprinting the books because the books will be full of shame that these men lied. They've said Russia is all lie. You know where that Russia thing came from? Because that was the seat of communism. Jesus said, of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. No, Russia is now being converted. Then they moved it to, Iraq. Now that they have bucketed Saddam, they are shifting it to North Korea. You see prophecy jumping up and down. It's confusion. The truth is that what will happen is one day you will say that it might be fulfilled that which was written. What am I saying? Your job is to be born again in every sphere. You can't operate marriage the way it is customary in your place. That is not being born again. That is being filled with influences from your village. It's true. You can't do business the way it is done in your ancestors' place. That is being filled with influences from your place. Are you getting the point I'm making? There is a concept. One day I was in church, talking about marriage. You know, we had a kind of talk time. I was like a coordinator of the talk show in church. And so, but that always gave me the opportunity to talk. And I explained something to them. That I don't have 5 kobo. That my wife not only knows about, but cannot lay claim to also, is there's none. Doesn't exist. Not 5 kobo. When my wife resigned her job and to become, like someone, one of her friends said, a domestic engineer. Some people say, how can? I said, you see, for them, it was hard. I said, but for my wife, she never saw it as a loss of income because she never had any income. Are you getting my point? For us, it was, a reduction in income. It was not a loss of income. Do you follow my point? She didn't have 1 naira less the day after she resigned than she used to have. It's just the whole family will restructure. So after I explained some things, some people came to me after. He said, you know, Pastor Banky, my father used to say, in my mind, influences from your father. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, my father said that the reason, that's why the guy was touching me that day. I'm not joking now. He was touching her. That, you see, he used to do this to his mother because there's always this reserve. When he finished, I said, okay. In my mind, This is your father. I mean, I'm telling you what God said. You are telling me about your father. The two of them shall become one flesh. He said the greatest thing a man has or a woman has is what? His flesh. You never read it? Was that not what God and Satan agreed on concerning Job? No, go and read the story of Job. They took Job's goods. Then Satan came and God said, see, Job didn't deny me. He said, skin for skin. Any man will give anything to preserve his flesh. Is that not what God and Satan agreed on? And God said, it is true. Now, God now told a man and a woman that your flesh does not belong to you, but it belongs to your spouse. That is, your flesh, which is the most precious physical thing you have, belongs to your spouse. How much more your cash? Which God and Satan agreed is inferior to your flesh. The two, he said, shall be one flesh. According to Bishop Oyedepo, a man you can give your body to, you can't give your money, makes you a harlot. You cannot get the power of God in your home practicing marriage as it is in your place. That's what is called influences from the East. Because of time, I'd like to end. But bear in mind, that's just one example. When you are doing business, look, you know, even people realize that maximizing profit is not good. It kills the company ultimately. When I was in secondary school, the principle of entrepreneurship was maximize profit. They don't say that anymore. What do they say now? Optimize profit. They will soon get to what God is saying. We say it is more blessed to give than to receive. Give and it shall be given unto you. Bill Gates may not have preached it, but he practiced it. I don't have time to explain it. Men who have become greatest in life, they said, "What? How can I make?" No, they were always trying to give. Influences from the East is the reason why the kingdom is not manifested in different areas. Anywhere the kingdom is manifested, what happens is that the man, the woman, automatically takes charge in that area of life. His life becomes a reference point. I have not finished my message, but we will close. Then I'll continue last time, because what I have done today is just to explain what it means to be born again. You understand what I mean? But the mechanism by which a man begins to live, we'll examine that next time. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you. It's been such a good day.